Blog Talk
Radio. Fellow Americans, it is with the utmost pride and sincerity that I present this recording as a living testament and recollection of history in the making during our generation.
Allow me to reintroduce myself.
My name is...
What?
My name is...
Dr. Dre.
Yeah. Robert Ford.
Okay, we get it. Start the show.
Oh, right. Yeah.
There you go.
Time to make it do what it do, baby.
About time.
Yeah, I had to do some counseling. I had to talk people off the ledge.
Gotta go get that purifier. Rubber's bubbles in it.
Yeah, JQ had to get purified sanitizer, rub your toes in it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah. It's almost like first we're making these jokes, but then as we talk about it, this could get a little crazy, America. So, again, since apparently we are becoming a situation where maybe like inside our homes, we can present you this, you know, obviously interesting edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. March the 11th, 2020 is the date. I got to tell you, I did not expect this to happen, but we're gonna make it through. We're gonna figure out how to get through this. Again, use us as your counselors, and yeah. So, I wish I had something clever to say, but I really don't know. We're gonna, like I said, figure out how to talk some sports, and you know, we can definitely keep this moving. But yeah, JQ, how you feeling this evening, man?
I'm good. It's crazy, but I tell you what, the NBA suspended the season. Helped me from getting my ass whooped this week by Rob in this last week of fantasy basketball playoffs.
Wow.
So there's that piece of it. So maybe they'll just reset the whole week when we start back up and maybe give me a better shot of keeping my number one seed. So,
Oh, man.
You know.
I know. I'm up 8-1 so far this week, man. It's cold-blooded.
Yeah, they stopped it. And my part of me was like, dang, this is messed up. And I was like, oh, man, yes, because I am getting my doors blown off. Good Lord have mercy.
Wow.
And with that Steph Curry sign, you know, type your chest and point up to the sky like, won't he do it? I'm joking, America. I'm joking. It's a joke. Don't get carried away. I'm good, man. How you doing?
Send all your emails to JQ at – no, I'm joking. No, interesting.
You might have to have the mercy ruling, man. You might have to just give me this. You might have to give me this week.
No. Hell no.
Wow. Well, it's funny. We'll talk about this. I know I was talking to Curtis and Gary before the call, and now we're going to talk about revenues and everything can be affected because of this. Because now, yeah, fantasy football, I mean, basketball, this is interesting, man. So we'll definitely let West Coast chime in a quick second here. But, yeah, Rob Ford, as always, sliding in before. How you doing, bro?
Hey, doing good. You know, I know this is an unsettling time for us. Not just as a nation, but as a world right now. This is pretty much a world crisis right now that we're in. And, I don't want to be too deep, but the bottom line is we all have to stay prayed up. And this is a storm that we all are going to get through. And, you know, it's just a matter of time. We just have to take the necessary precautions to get through this. But this is a storm. That we as a people, as the world's come to, closer together here during this crisis, this is something that we all are going to come through. And, you know, this is just another storm that we're going to, you know, pass through and beat people. So let's just remain calm, don't stress out, and we're going to get through this, people.
Well said, Brother Martin.
Yeah,
I'm mad at me. You.
Wait, what was that?
I said thank you, Brother Martin, and he said thank you, Pastor Rob, at the same time. I'm mad.
Nice.
Oh man.
Okay, Rob. Where do we Rob? Where do we send our money?
So what?
Right? Where do we send our money? Go ahead.
Let me get my tithes together.
We send our money.
Jerry said, where do we send our money?
Oh man.
Oh.
I'll still take it too.
I just instantly started writing the check, man. I was moved.
Oh, man.
Oh, I love Gary Hart.
Oh, man, I am mad at me and you. Go ahead, man. That is ridiculous. We're spending too much time together.
I know, for real. Really quickly, we're going to set the stage and we're going to call in the show because you got nothing to do but call in, apparently, according to Rob. 424-243-9519. We've got a little too excited there. Follow us on Twitter, at the number 12, THMAN Sports. Follow us on Facebook. Once again, if I did the number, it is always the same as always, 424-243-9519. I'm going to start out with Curtis and Gary really quick because you guys had a great comment. We do got to talk about the most pressing topic, which is the coronavirus. What did you guys say starting out? You were talking about revenue. Really quickly, what did you guys talk about that whenever you first getting on the show?
Well, what I was saying, you know, the first topic is the Big East tournament. And I haven't been paying attention to that. I'm sorry. But I've been paying attention to everything. The Mariners are not going to be playing in front of crowds. Golden State is not going to be playing in front of a crowd.
Oh, NBA.
Final Four in March Madness.
Yeah.
Yeah.
In Atlanta.
My question was, is the Big East tournament being played in front of a crowd? I know at the moment today started the the Pac-12 tournament, and they played in Vegas. Their tournament's in Vegas, and they were in front of a crowd today. I'm not sure how long that's going to be, but today, and they're planning, I think tomorrow they're planning to be in front of a crowd. But they're down in Vegas.
The ACC plays in front of a crowd.
The Seattle area, yeah.
Yeah, the ACC is playing in front of a crowd now.
One of the things I want to say, for me, what is more scary, the virus or what happens to this economy? If we're too scared to go out and frequent the bars and restaurants, get on planes, cruise ships, go to games, go to concerts.
Well, nothing compromises. Safety and health should always come first, right? And I'll be totally honest with you. And I'm even speaking for myself here. I actually was getting to the point where I thought the media was over sensationalizing this, but I think now my focus has kind of changed on that. It's like, hey, okay, this is getting serious, and we got to take some precautions, some measures here to get this virus under control here. And if you notice that obviously this started in China, right? And China had to take some really hard measures to get this under control. Now they are finally getting it under control. And now we just need the rest of the world to take these same hard steps to get it under control. And basically what China did was pretty much shut the country down. And
that's pretty extreme. Rob.
I'm sorry.
Yeah, go ahead. I got
you. My point is on this is, you know, those of us that have done, you know, some extensive travel in our lives, you know, we realize how small the world is.
Yeah.
And now, you know, with a virus like this, you realize just, you know, this started in China, you know. And now it's affecting, you know, every part of the world is affected. You know,
Africa,
Australia,
South America, pretty much. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you know, so it's just that's what's scary about it. But what Curtis is right. I mean, yes, the first part is it's safety and getting this under control, but. Also, you know, you know, when these stadiums close down, the hundreds of people that are working at these stadiums, you know, and you know, with the concessions and the food and the parking and all of that
income,
whatever fails, you know, is just it's really scary. It's really scary. It's
well, let me go for real conspiracy theorist on you on this one, and you're right. But it almost feels like a semi-purge because if you look at it from the other angle, the people that have money that are looking at this and know it's coming and see this happening are able to take full advantage. They can short the stock market and make plenty of money off of that and they can also buy all these stocks when they go low, and then when they rebound, because they're going to rebound, now they stand to make a whole lot of money off of buying these stocks, you know, at a tenth of the value, and then having to rebound back up and making a great windfall off of it. So a piece of me wonders how much is being manipulated us by the media and some of the people with the money of, yeah, you know, y'all talking that stuff. Okay, you want to talk about how the 1% or 2% can live? We're going to show you. And if we do this, you know, some of y'all ain't going to make it. But us with this long money, you know, we can short the stocks. We can buy low and then make more money and then put you pretty much on the streets. So a piece of me is like, I'm worried and thinking about who's really controlling and manipulating this coverage and how this is being released in terms of how the money is being divided up moving forward, or at least in the short term.
Yeah. Yeah, there's a lot to think about with that. And there's, whether it's something like this or a war or anything like that, there's always money to be made for those who are
in that position.
Those, you know, those global world people, whatever they call themselves. They're always they can always make money in that. Which is, you know, it is what it is. It's too bad.
But what's the average guy?
Yeah.
And I,
you know, what are we worried about? You know, we're worried about our family.
And there's economic wars, and we might be in the middle of economic war that we didn't know that was coming, that has been put into motion with this. So I'm not saying that's what's happened, but I'm keeping an eye on that as to who picks up these stocks and benefits from this in the next, you know, 4 to 6 to 8 weeks about while this goes on. So I'm with you. It's definitely a war. It's just not a war that we're used to seeing. It's not one of those ones where you watch on CNN and you're watching grenades getting thrown and bombs being dropped. It could very much be a socioeconomic war.
Yep. Good call.
And the second topic, what are they going to do with March Madness? Is that going to be played in front of live audience?
No.
No, it's already been
announced. What did you say, Rob?
It's already been announced that they are not playing, that it's not open for fans, only essential workers and immediate family members. That's it.
Yep.
Wow.
And what
they're already looking for somewhere else to have the Final Four instead of the Mercedes-Benz Stadium in Atlanta.
Yep.
Wow. And what does that mean for the athletes? What does that mean for the athletes? How do you think they feel now? I remember one time LeBron James says, if there's not a crowd, he won't play. I think he's trying to back off those words.
He had no choice to change his tune.
Well, he ain't playing because they ain't playing. So he didn't really have to back off of it. I mean, what he said basically happened. They aren't playing any games. I mean, they're suspended. They're on hiatus. So, yeah, there is no games to play in front of an empty stadium because there are no games to be played because they suspended them all. So, and I was going to Charlotte next weekend to watch the Lakers and the Hornets next Saturday, and now that's off. So there goes that road trip.
Check out this. Philadelphia Eagles coaches are not even traveling to pro days.
Wow.
Only the scouts are going to the pro days, but the coaches are not going. The Steelers have announced that they will still go to pro days, but they're adjusting their travel plans.
Mm-hmm. See, this is where you talk about what happened to the athletes because, you know, again, this is getting reverberated. These little small ripples are hitting everything of society because, as you talked about, you know, you're an athlete, you know, again, you're playing a game, someone to cheer or whatever. That's going to affect you too. Then what happens to the season? The NBA season is over, right? So let's talk about what's going to happen with the championship, right? How does this play out, right? Is this like an asterisk for this season? What happens to gambling?
It's
you talk about that too. So, again, it's not over, but what I'm saying is, like, everything's on a hiatus, but this definitely does affect. I mean, now they're not not playing every day as an athlete, am I going to be in shape? I mean, it may help somebody that may not be, you know, having those back-to-backs, but then, you know, what if I get injured or, you know, because I'm not, you know, playing as much or, you know, there's a lot of different things how this can definitely play out, man. So it's definitely man, I don't think we've ever been in a situation like this before, at least not in our lifetime at this time. You know, obviously, you think of typhoid.
Now without a lockout.
Back in the day, yeah, you know, black plague and stuff, bubonic plague and, you know, little things like that. But this is crazy how everything is happening in this instance too, man. So, man, you know, we had to start off with this topic. So I guess we could definitely spend a good hour talking about a lot of things as well. But I guess if we do want to talk about some stuff, now is the time to do that too. So, you know, I guess, does this affect the March Madness? Does it affect the players? Does it affect cheering and that energy that you play off of whenever you're in a crowd? Or I know Trae Young said now it's more like a scrimmage now as opposed to an actual game. How do you get up for that whenever you don't have folks cheering? You know, the stadium's quiet. That's kind of scary, man, right? You're in a stadium, it's quiet, you know? That's crazy, you know what I'm saying?
Well, I guess you have to have the mindset that you're working for TV audiences. And the people that pay these commercials to be on TV. So now you're playing for TV games. And that's a glimmer of hope for these leagues.
Yeah, advertising. Yeah,
Can you imagine watching one of these teams on TV with no fans in the crowd except maybe a few
family member
or whatever. They hit a big three and you've got one guy going.
Well,
that'd be crazy.
I do know that the TV was talking about piping in noise, having that laugh track, you know, doing some of that stuff that they used to do. Yeah, you know, the TV is trying to figure that out also. What are they going to do in these stadiums to make it feel like it's not so different?
You can.
Could you imagine?
I don't care how much you pipe in. Right.
Can you imagine calling the game on the sidelines? Hey, they're going to hear everything you say. Hey, man, what a shot. Okay. The crowd is filling it?
No crowd.
That changes
right.
your whole dynamic. You know what I'm saying? Whenever you're calling the game.
Yeah.
You know, it's – and then like you talked about, if you are a worker that, you know, this is part of your income, this is going to affect your income, man. I mean, you know, whether you're saving up for kids or for Christmas or for, you know, mortgage, if this is something that, you know, you depend on to survive your rent – your dick. This is affecting all of that, man. It's crazy. I mean, if you think about it.
Yeah.
As much as
it's the thing.
Yeah. Oh
man.
To eat, and I mean, and here's the thing. People are overdoing the hand sanitizers and toilet paper. So now you get your little bit of money and you go to the grocery store. You can't buy your toilet paper. And you can't buy your hand sanitizer.
Makes you think. It makes you wonder, man. Were people using toilet paper before this or not?
And they're leaving the soap on the shelves. Like you can't get toilet paper and sanitizer, but all the soap is still on the shelves. Like, what are you doing? Buy some soap, you dirty bastards. Wash your hands. Like, how do you leave the soap on the shelf and bypass it? You don't get the sanitizer. Like, that's so lazy.
I need some soap, Jackie.
If you follow the stories, they said that you can still get soap, but you can't get, like you said, toilet paper and hand sanitizer, but you can still get soap. Like, where are we as a country where you are bypassing the soap? Like, come on, man. That's why we're in this problem, this predicament that we're in now. That's crazy.
Were people using toilet paper before this?
Right.
Oh, my gosh.
It's something. Well,
yeah,
I have a bidet, so I don't really worry about that. So I'm pretty much good for that.
On my home a lot, I stop by this Fred Meyer store because it's on my way home. And there was a couple of times I don't never take a list, so I kind of forget what I have in my house and not have in my house. And I forgot a few times, and I might have 3 months worth of toilet paper in my house. And that was before this virus, and it was only because I forgot that I already had toilet paper. I did the same thing with laundry detergent. I got a bunch of laundry detergent that I forgot that I already had.
Hey, you better put in the safe and get your gun ready because the way it's going, you might have to shoot some people for that damn toilet paper. This is stupid.
It's stupid. Damn, we just created a crisis. All right, Brother Rob, really quickly, what say you about the Final Four predictions? And we'll finally talk about Dak Prescott here, you know, and his thoughts too. But go ahead, Brother Rob.
Well, I mean, it's, to me, Kansas has been the most consistent team all year. And for me, it's hard to predict, pick against him right now. I know sometimes Bill Self teams can be wishy-washy when it comes to the tournament here. But
sometimes.
To me, they got the perfect balance between young talent as well as, you know, veteran leadership on their team with Azubuike there in the middle. And to me, they are definitely the team to beat. Is this the year for Gonzaga to get back to the Final Four? Are we going to see more of the mid-majors like the Daytons and the San Diego State?
Dean Hall.
Yeah. So it's going to be really interesting. Florida State is a team to watch, too. They're athletically gifted. Man, they just got a lot of dudes on that team that can get it done, especially on the defensive end, rebounding, running the floor. They're another team to really watch. But to me, Kansas has been the most consistent team all year, and it's just hard for me to predict against them, you know, right now in the NCAA tournament.
What about Baylor?
Baylor's really, to me, Baylor has not been playing as great in the last 2 to 3 weeks. They had a strong run, but it seemed like they're falling off a little bit and had some really close games, had some tough losses, even had some losses on the home floor here recently. I just think Kansas has been the most consistent team, and Kansas went on the road and beat Baylor, too.
But they had to advantage that loss in Lawrence, too. The thing that scares me about Kansas is they get those guys back, right, for the tournament. They got suspended for that fight against Kansas State.
Yeah.
So I wonder, in trying to get those guys back into the fold, do you disrupt some of the chemistry that you developed? Because actually everybody thought there was going to be a death knell, right, when they got into that fight, and they kind of took off. But then you get those guys back, and those were talented guys that you're bringing back into the fold, and you still want to play them. But does that disrupt your chemistry and your rotations now, trying to bring them back in? I have no idea right now, even outside of Kansas. We've had so many upsets in the top 10. We talk about Florida State, but then they go and lose at Clemson. Like Duke goes and loses at Clemson. You're like, what the hell is happening right now? Why can't nobody in the top five? I mean, they're losing to unranked teams in the top five. So this has been one of the craziest seasons. So I guess it's fitting that they're going to play in front of no crowds. Because if you look in terms of a season, in terms of the top five, top 10 teams that have lost to unranked teams, not just upsets, but upsets to unranked teams throughout this season, I can't call it. Like, you know, I'm any of those teams you just named, they won it. I'm like, okay, yeah, I can see that, you know, but it's not like you have any powerhouses like, you know, that team right there, that Duke team, that North Carolina team, that Kansas team. Like, yeah, if they lose, then, I mean, what the hell happened? Like, you don't have that sense of, you know, of superpowerness about any of these teams that we're used to seeing from at least a couple of these blue bloods in past years. So this is going to be wild in terms of the way that the competitive balance has been, and you have them playing with no bands and no fans. Like, I honestly, I don't know. I can't put my finger on a team and say, you know what, I'm going to ride this team, and I'm going to put my money behind this team on this call and ride them throughout this tournament. I just don't know.
Right. I'm trying to figure out. I want to see what Gonzaga can do out here, if they're ready to get in that Final Four. And I'm looking at Oregon. Oregon has now won that Pac-12 7 years in a row. They got a legit coach. They got a little legit chance. They should, in my opinion, should be able to get in that 16, maybe that 8. Let's see what kind of run Gonzaga can have. Let's see how many teams from the Pac-12 get in. That's what I'm looking at. And on the flip side, we have an Oregon's girls team in basketball that is the odds-on favorite. Yeah, that is the odds-on favorite of winning that girls tournament, which I haven't been paying a ton of attention. I guess the guard has changed in women's basketball, that it
this
hasn't
year.
Been UConn in a while.
Right.
South Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah. That chick that they got in Oregon, she is a monster, and I can't get her name right now, but she is a beast. She was the one that was deeply affected by Kobe as well, because he took her under her wing, and she's a monster. Like if you, like we talk about, if you get you one dominant player that can carry you through a tournament, kind of like a Kimba Walker for UConn, I think she's that chick for Oregon. So, yeah, you got to watch out for her. But, yeah, I'm not rooting against Dawn Staley in South Carolina. She's quality, putting together a really nice program in South Carolina. And this is the year. Like, this is the year where, you know, Golden State is bad. It's open for everybody else in the NBA. Same thing for women's basketball. This is the year that if you want to get it with UConn being down, you better come get it now because you know that Ariana is going to reload.
That's true.
Her name is Sabrina Nagescu.
There you go.
I think it's Serena Nagescu or something like that.
Yeah, I was going to try to butcher it. I can see her in my mind, but that name was messing me up. I was just like, we all know who I'm talking about. She's a beast.
Yeah.
Good deal. All right, we're going to talk about some NFL right now. We're going to jump to a couple things. We are going to let Rob do his mock draft. Once again, mock draft 10.3.2. But really quickly, before we talk about that, this is for Curtis and Gary, and the question is going to be about Dak Prescott. Is he a top 10 QB? And there's also some scuttlebutt that Jalen Hurts is on the Cowboys' radar. What? That's just something that we're hearing that he'd be a good fit. So I'm kind of curious about, that. Mm. We can let our Rob and JQ talk about that too. But is Dak Prescott a top 10 QB to my Cowboys fans?
Well, I'll start this one off, Curtis. I want to go over some stats real quick here.
So last year
he threw for 4,900 yards. He had 30 touchdowns, 11 picks. We're going to break it down a little bit further. He was number two in passing yards. His QBR was number seven. For INTs, he was 13th. For touchdowns, he was fourth. For yards per game, he was third. For passes over 40 yards, he was first. Passes over 20 yards, he was third. And completions per attempt, he was fifth at 8.2. Those are all really solid numbers.
Mm-hmm.
Is he a top 10 pick or a top 10 quarterback? Yes, he is, in my opinion, a top 10 quarterback. With an 8-8 record, there's an asterisk by it right now because he didn't lead his team past the Eagles the last game to win the division. You know, with a bunch of scrubs. Now, if the quarterback is going to take all the credit when things are great, then the quarterback's got to take a bulk of the credit when the things go wrong. At 8-8. Enough things went wrong where they didn't win the division to make the playoffs. In his time as a Cowboy quarterback, he's won the division twice, but he could have won it three times had he have won that last game against, second string, third string.
A banged up Eagles team, yes.
Yeah, well, more than just a banged up, just a
team off the street.
Yeah, decimated team with 25 or 30 guys off the street. So, he's got to take that hit too. Yes, I believe he's a top 10 player. Curtis, what do you say about that?
I'm mad. I'm not happy. not only did he lose to that Eagles team, he also lost to the Jets.
Mm-hmm.
And, when they lost to the Jets, there's no explaining that. And then, what was that 10-7 game in New Orleans? Dak, all these stats, why didn't you put up 27 points on New Orleans? When it counts, and there is something to the fact that he put up these kind of numbers in garbage time, or time, and I think I see this in the NFL. When you can't catch up and you got a 20-point lead, the defenses don't come after you until you get to the 20-yard line. And then once you get to the 20-yard line, they shut you down and make you kick a field goal. And you're not catching up the field goal.
Yes.
So I
agree.
What do you say?
There's a problem. If he's top 10, if we give him the benefit of the doubt of him being top 3, but he's top 10 – There's three quarterbacks coming in the league this year that might move him from top 10 to 13.
Mm. Talk about it. Go ahead, Rob. I'll come up last.
Well, I tell you what. I'm not totally convinced he's in the top 10, But I want to say he's somewhere around 8 to 12, so he's somewhere in the ballpark. He's definitely in the conversation of being in the top 10. There's no doubt about it. But I'm not going to say I'm totally convinced. And I think, you know, a lot of what Gary and Curtis have said already is the reason why. I mean, obviously his team was 8-8 this past season. For the most part, had a really good offensive line. Got a number one receiver in Amari Cooper. Got an elite back in Zeke Elliott. And you just thought that they would just be a lot more productive. And, you know, he has to take some ownership for that. Now, do I think he needs to get paid? Absolutely. I mean, that's just the price of doing business in the NFL with quarterback position. If Kirk Cousins is going to get $88 million guaranteed, then Dak Prescott is definitely worth getting over $100 million guaranteed. That's just the price of doing business in the NFL with a starting quarterback. And like I said, he's in the conversation. I'm not totally convinced he's in the top 10, but he's definitely in the conversation of being in the top 10. And but, you know, I definitely think they need to – I definitely think he has to get paid, and that's just a part of the nature of the business. And I know a lot of Cowboys fans are mixed. Even Jerry Jones is probably even mixed on this situation. But that's just the price of business, of doing business in the NFL. Unless you want to go back to having another rookie, you're going to have to go ahead and pay Dak Prescott. And that's the bottom line. But he's definitely in the conversation, but I'm still not convinced that he is in the top 10.
Yeah, and I would agree with you that he's probably in that 8 to 12 range. And you know, and I'm going to take a different take on it, and it may be unpopular. But if I'm Dallas and I'm looking at it, just because other teams have made mistakes with the money they've given their quarterbacks doesn't mean that you need to make the same mistake with Dak Prescott. And I think that gets lost in the conversation, where you're not going to give him the same much money as Carson Wentz guaranteed or Jared Goff. But guess what? Those teams made mistakes. The Rams made a mistake in giving Jared Goff that kind of guaranteed money. I feel like Philadelphia has made that mistake in giving Carson Wentz that much money in guaranteed money. So you're saying you got to – I don't see – he's got to get paid. Don't get me wrong. But you don't compound – other people's mistakes by making another mistake by trying to keep up with the Joneses, with no pun intended, because, you know, Stephen and Jerry. But it still leads me to the fact that, you know, he wants to be better than them in terms of their money, but they weren't worth that money to begin with. And I don't think at this point right now that Dak is worth that money. He should make more money than Russell Wilson has. Russell Wilson is a Super Bowl-winning quarterback, and he should have two. So to me, to say I'm going to get some more money than them because other teams made a bad decision, not just not Seattle, but the Rams and the Eagles, I'm not going to say as an organization I'm going to make their mistakes look better by compounding it by giving him more money than them. And I think that's where some of the fallacy of the argument comes in of, well, he should make more money than they should. Yeah, he should, but they shouldn't be making the money that they're making. So don't make it worse by giving him more money he should get just because they made a mistake. And nobody really calls that out to me when they're talking about arguing about who should get more money and whatnot. I just feel like, you know, don't keep up with people that have made bad decisions by making a bad decision on your part.
Well, go with what they offered.
Well, here's what the sticking point is in this. You know, Dak wants that 4-year deal at 33.5 million. The offer on the table is 33.5 million over 6 years that Dallas has offered him. Dak wants that cut down and that deal to be a 4-year deal. They don't want to get into a situation where 4 years down the road they got to do this whole thing again with Dak. So they want a longer deal towards the end of his career. So I understand where the Cowboys are at. I understand that Dak is betting on Dak, but if they've offered him – now, that contract is not quite – it would be the third highest. It would be ahead of Goff, ahead of Aaron Rodgers, behind Russell Wilson on that deal. So that's the sticking point. And I think how the Dallas Cowboys are going to play it is if he doesn't take this, they're going to go ahead and franchise tag him and then go let him get his, you know, 4-year deal or whatever next year if they don't franchise tag him again and then get their long-term deal out of him. But that's what Dak is betting on. He's betting on that he does well enough in 4 years that he can go out and get another big payday before he – he comes, and the Cowboys want a 6-year deal now. That's the holdup.
Yeah.
Gotcha. You know, it feels like, you know, Jerry, whenever you spitted those stats, that you're trying to convince yourself that he was a top 10 quarterback. So, you know, it's just funny to me. You're trying to throw the
top. No,
you know,
I don't.
You know
what?
I know. It's best with you.
And some of it, you're right, because an 8-8 season doesn't cut it. You know, when you were the decisive division leader the year before, you know, and, you know, these sort of things. So, and yes, you're right. As I looked at these stats, I thought those are pretty damn solid numbers. Now, are there some of those times when they obviously are, you know, behind or whatever? Yeah, absolutely. All of this stuff is somewhat skewed for any quarterback or any position. But one thing that we've seen with Dak is he's strong. And he's smart, and he's on the field. He's not injury prone. These are things that I like. As I look at some of the other quarterbacks that would be at that 8 to 12, you know, range where I would put Dak and you guys would put him as well. I'm looking at some of those quarterbacks as being those quarterbacks that he stays healthier than. That's how I made my decision on that.
Yeah. No, wow. It's good. It is very, very, very deceptive. Go ahead, Chicky.
Yeah, no, I agree with that, to a point. I just don't, when I look at it, I don't think he should eclipse Super Bowl winning quarterbacks and Aaron Rodgers and a Russell Wilson. I feel like other teams have made mistakes, and if I'm Dallas, I'm not going to go down the same path of making mistakes. You know, Kirk Cousins overpaid. Jared Goff overpaid. Carson Wentz, due to your issue about his availability, which is very solid and valid, overpaid. So if I'm the Joneses, why should I also make a bad decision because other people made a bad decision to set a market price for a quarterback that shouldn't be there? So people don't necessarily want to call those other quarterbacks out, but I think that's a valid, you know, if you're Dallas and you're trying to make a good deal for your organization so you can also sign other people, that you have to take into consideration. That's my only thing. But I feel like every time I see people get on TV and talk about it, they use those numbers as the benchmarks, but they never followed up and say, you know what, those were bad deals by those teams, and they put Dallas in a bad spot. Nobody really says that. They just say those guys got that money, so Dak should get more than that because he's better than them. But he is. But they shouldn't be making that money, period. And, you know, I don't know if that's ever going to come up in the course of conversations on your, you know, Undisputed in your first takes, but I just feel like those three quarterbacks in particular who have really set a bad market rate for quarterbacks because of the bad deals they've gotten from their franchises, they don't get called out enough to me for, hey, those were bad deals. That Jared Goff deal is a bad deal on top of the bad deal now with Todd Gurley's knees. Like, that's just a bad deal. So if I'm Dallas, I don't want to make a bad deal just because they made a bad deal. So, you know, I'm not a Jerry Jones fan like that, but a piece of me is like, you know, cut that dude a little bit of slack on this for not wanting to follow in the footsteps of making a bad deal like other organizations have.
Man, Cowboys.
Okay, hang on, one more thing. What about this? What about this? Trade Dak Prescott to Miami for their fourth pick and bring in Tua in the Cowboys. I think you'd have something there. I don't
you
know if
get
Miami
that
would go
pick.
For it or how that, but I would go for it.
You better get three of those first-round picks if you're trading Dak to Miami. I need at least two, if not all three. If you get away with just one, Miami runs, they take that deal in a heartbeat. You mean me Dak and
well,
I'm going to keep two of those other first-round picks?
You probably have a couple of first-round picks you'd have, you know, to get what you needed around them and do whatever plus the one that you have. So
yeah. Yeah.
It's something to think about.
True.
All right. Brother Rob, since we're talking about the draft, we might as well let Rob do his mock draft. And then we have to definitely talk about he's been kind of quiet there, so I kind of had to throw him a bone here. We'll talk about that. We got about 20 minutes left in the show. And then we have to talk about Curtis's favorite quarterback, Tom Brady, and if he's going to be a good fit for the Titans or Chargers, and about the future of Todd Gurley, too. So go ahead, Rob, do your quick little mock draft, and we'll talk about this now.
By the way, for our listeners, on our Talking Sports with the 12th Man page, I have posted my latest 3 rounds mock draft. I actually have 4 rounds, but I didn't post the 4th round on the on our page yet. But if you go to our Talking Sports with the 12th Man site, I have posted the first 3 rounds mock draft, the latest version of my mock drafts, and we'll be posting the 4th round here very soon. But well, obviously, it's a given who's going number one, so we don't have to spend too much time on that. And it's a given, well, not quite a given, but I still like Chase Young to the Redskins at the number two position. I have Isaiah Simmons, number three to Detroit. Jeff Okuda, number four to the Giants. And I still have Miami taking Tua at 5. I'm predicting a little slight trade. I got Carolina moving up to take Tristan Wirfs, who's probably – secured himself as being the number one offensive lineman in the draft based on his athletic performance he put on at the combine, offensive tackle from Iowa. And obviously, you know, Kirk Ferentz, he always has a lineman or three that comes out and performs very well in the NFL out of Iowa. So he's going to have another one, former offensive line coach in the NFL as well. Got Justin Herbert still to the Chargers. A lot of word out on the streets that Jordan Love could go higher than Justin Herbert. So that's going to be one to watch here in these upcoming pro days. That's going to be coming up in the interview circuit as well. But a lot of scouts and teams may be willing to take a chance on Love to see if they can get a Patrick Mahomes or Lamar Jackson. He could be a hit or he could be a miss. But I think there's some teams that's willing to take that chance to see if they can get into – you know, that kind of playmaker, you know, get a Patrick Mahomes or a Lamar Jackson type of player. So that's going to be one to watch there. Derek Brown, have him going to Jacksonville. CeeDee Lamb to Cleveland. Jerry Jeudy to the Jets. Right now I have Jordan Love going to Las Vegas at number 12. Have Atlanta taking Ka'Lavon Chase on, edge rusher from LSU. Henry Ruggs, a speedster from Alabama, who had the fastest 40 time. I have him going to Dallas. Grant Delpit, safety from LSU, have him going to Las Vegas at 19. A.J. Espinosa, edge rusher from Iowa, have him going to Philly. DeAndre Swift, running back from Georgia, going to Buffalo. I have the Saints taking Jalen Reagor, wide receiver from TCU. A couple of LSU players there, Patrick Queen going to Minnesota. Justin Jefferson to Miami. And Christian Fulton, the cornerback from LSU, going to San Francisco there in the first round. Just some big names in the second round. Got Jonathan Taylor, running back from Wisconsin, going to Cincinnati. See if they can build a 1-2 punch in the backfield. I have T. Higgins, wide receiver from Clemson, going to Indianapolis in the second round. Yetur Gross-Matos, edge rusher from Penn State, going to Detroit. LaVisca Chenault obviously got hurt and is recovering a 4 to 6 week injury, having fallen to the second round, wide receiver from Colorado, but I think he could really be a playmaker going to the Giants. A.J. Terrell got abused in a national championship game, still got him going to the second round, cornerback. Clemson, he really did. Jamar Chase gave him the business.
Stop that problem.
And Jamar Chase still in college. Denzel Mims, wide receiver from Baylor. He's the one to watch, too. Have him going to Jacksonville. J.K. Dobbins, running back, Ohio State to Chicago. Jacob Eason, quarterback, Washington, going to the Colts. You know, the Colts quarterback situation is going to be one to watch. I have two second-round picks for Atlanta. Have him taking Ezra Cleveland, offensive tackle from Boise State. He's a guy that could even move up into the first round. And Cam Akers, running back from Florida State. With Atlanta's second pick. Lloyd Cushenberry is really moving up the draft boards as well. Center from LSU, possibly sneaking to the first round. I have him going to Miami in the second round. And then last but not least, just a couple of big names in the third round. I had Cameron Dantzler, cornerback, Mississippi State, going to Cincinnati at 65. Tall corner, too, 6'2". Could really jam you at the line of scrimmage. He could be a real sleeper. Familiar name, Antoine Winfield, safety from Minnesota. Have him going to Carolina. And Jake Fromm, quarterback, Georgia. I have him going to Jacksonville in the third round. Malik Harrison, linebacker, Ohio State. I have him going to Cleveland in the third round. I have Atlanta taking Hunter Bryan, tight end from Washington in the third round. The Jets taking Rashard Lawrence, defense tackle from LSU in the third round. And let's see, Clyde Edwards-Helaire, running back, LSU, to Buffalo. In the third round.
Nice. So
those are just some, just a few big names. I have Saints taking Darnay Holmes, cornerback from UCLA, in the third round. Willie Gay Jr., linebacker from Mississippi State, is another player to watch. I have him going to third round of Baltimore. So those are just a few of the big names in the third round in the draft. And I'll even throw JQ a bonus. I have Cincinnati taking Yazir Durant, offensive tackle from Missouri, in the fourth round.
Yeah, because we need it.
Yeah. So that's just fourth round will be posted here shortly, people.
You must have known I was going to ask about that fourth round pick. You must have known I was going to ask about it.
I got it. Good.
Yeah, I was just wondering about the – I mean, I like Isaiah Simmons, but I think – when's the last time a linebacker went top 10? Was it Keith Rivers to Cincinnati at 10 from USC? The last time a linebacker went in the top 10 in the draft?
Luke Kuechly went number 9.
Luke Kuechly, okay, Carolina, okay.
Yeah. He went 7 or 9, but he was definitely in the top 10, Luke Kuechly.
Okay.
And, but Isaiah Simmons is a guy that's so versatile that you can line him up at safety, you can line him up at, as an edge rusher or linebacker, or you can even have him playing in the middle of the defense at linebacker as well. He just has so much versatility. And he's really proved himself at the combine. He's really, really going up. I can't see him falling out of the top 5 right now.
Yeah. The problem I have with that is that I feel like the Giants fans would give Okuda such a – he would have to have so much to overcome because the last time they took him to Ohio State player, they surprised everybody by taking Eli Apple, I think, 9th or 10th at cornerback a couple of years ago, and he didn't live up to the billing. He's kind of reclaimed himself a little bit in New Orleans. But I wonder, would he have any of that stigma of having to live through that kind of – because Eli Apple, I mean, I'll admit to it, did not live up to it at all as an Ohio State corner for the Giants at all, being drafted that high. So I wonder if it will have extra onus to be so good to get past – you know what I'm saying, get past that stigma of, oh, here we go again. We took another Ohio State cornerback in the top 10. Not that he's not worth it, because I think he is. I think he's a very super solid cornerback. But just that piece of it, you know what I mean, for the Giants and the Giants fans to kind of – wrap their arms around them.
Yeah, Eli Apple's a free agent too, and I personally would be shocked if he's if the Saints keep him, unless you know he can't just find a market or an open market. But I would be shocked if the Saints were to bring him back. So he's probably a guy that's going to be available here in the free agent market. But I think from a scouting standpoint, you can't look at that. And I think if the Giants are smart, they can't compare him to Eli Apple. They can't. I think it's two totally different situations. And I think Okuda overall is just a better prospect too.
I agree.
Yeah.
You know the Giants.
Boy, we got too many people on the call. We got a lot of people on the call. All right, so Dodge, you on, bro?
Yeah, I'm here. What's going on, y'all?
What's going on, brother?
What's going on, boss?
What's going on, Doc?
That's what's going on. The NBA season is canceled. The Frenchman joking around and it almost killed everybody. I'm upset. What's good, fellas? It's good.
Yeah, this is, you know, as we stated early in the show, this is an unprecedented time in our history, really. I mean, I don't think any of us have seen anything like this in our lifetime. So,
it hasn't happened in 100 years.
Yeah.
And caller. I said, what are you more scared of? Are you more scared of the disease, or are you more scared of the economy?
Yeah, you got to be scared of both. I mean, this is a legitimate question.
I thought the economy was the disease.
Yeah.
I thought the economy was the disease.
Oh,
that's bad.
Wow. You got to be scared of both here. I mean, there's no doubt about it. It's a lot of concerns, but I guess to some degree, you got to get a hold. I mean, I guess you can't have everybody in the world with this virus. So to some degree, you just got to be able to stop the spread so you can get your economy back up to par here. And you know,
I mean, we have not seen this happen in the sports world in over 100 years. The last time this happened, now I know this because I've heard about this, but there was a flu epidemic back in 1917, and that wiped out the hockey playoffs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, those 50 million people in the world that died from that flu epidemic. I don't know if a lot of people know that. It was 1918, I believe. It might have been 1917, somewhere around
there.
1917. Yeah, it was a worldwide flu epidemic, and 50 million people around the globe died from that flu epidemic.
Yeah.
And
I don't know if a lot of people know that. Yeah, I don't know if it's going to reach that amount of proportion. I don't think so. But I mean, this is bad enough. I mean, this is the worst in our lifetime. I think it's one of those things that you see only happen every 100 years. And unfortunately, this was one of the 100 years.
Yeah. It's just unfortunate.
Wait, look at
that. Our only hope and prayer is that we can at least in the next 30 days, we start to see us, you know, starting to turn the corner. And like I said, you know, this started in China, and we've already starting to see it kind of starting to slow down there in China. And, you know, they have to take some pretty hard measures in order to get to that point. And unfortunately, it's time for us to do the same.
I just don't see how he was able to contract the virus, though.
You talking about Gobert?
And the medical association doesn't know either.
Yeah. Rudy Gobert.
Yeah, and that's the scary thing about this disease is that it's so unknown. We don't know a thing about it. It's that is the scariest part.
Well, what you don't know can kill you.
Yeah, it can kill you. I think the Chinese were going with one of my big problems with Chinese and Asian people is they eat everything. They'll eat dogs.
Mm-mm.
They'll
Mm-mm.
eat monkeys. They'll eat bugs. And I don't think we should be eating everything.
Not bugs.
Yeah, they eat bugs. They eat insects.
The only question I have on this, okay, so every year we have a cold and flu season.
Right.
So
right.
if this virus is similar to the flu, will it, as it gets warmer, will it die out and run its course like the flu does every year?
I don't know.
We don't know.
It takes a few years for them to come up with a vaccine for something. So we're going to have to wait on that. But,
yeah,
like, it's not a thing where you're going to see 50 million people die. Like, supply chains are different now. You can move things much quicker. The research that's going on globally, you're basically talking about multiple nations doing different things, trying to figure out what's the best way to get there. The problem is going to be clinical trials, trying to get through all of that without, you know, figuring out what the side effects are and everything else and what people can and can't take the vaccine when they eventually come up with it. But it's not going to be doomsday like death. This is like a real temporary bad situation. And, you know, it's going to be hard, though, no matter what, because you can't congregate in large, you know, large groups. You're going to have to figure out ways to get people to kind of change their habits, things like that. So your lifestyle is going to change, and the elderly are at risk. So far, children have shown that they're not as susceptible as previously thought, but that could change. So, you know, there's a lot of moving parts here, man. So nobody has all of the answers. But, you know, just listen to these surgeons and doctors and these people who study viruses and microbiology. Like, listen to those people. Don't listen to sports hosts on stuff like this. That's all
don't listen to me.
One good thing is, like, Clay Travis is, like, having a rant on Twitter where he's breaking down and, like, dude, I don't know if you qualify to do that, homie.
One good thing from this is people are starting to use toilet paper again, so that's a good thing.
Oh, my God.
Well, there was – just before we got on, there was a one of the televangelists, I'm not sure which one it was selling a, you know, a coronavirus serum that you can call in and buy. Yeah, what is it? Jim, is it Jim Baker or anyway?
Oh,
I don't know.
It's Jim Baker.
Not Jim Baker. God. Damn, you went back in the vault with Jim Baker.
He's old and frail.
I don't know what he's doing. He's one of those guys.
Wow.
But anyway, he was selling this stuff, and now he's being sued over it, but he was promoting it as if it's you drink, you call in, we say a prayer for you, and you drink this stuff.
Maybe I need to say this on this radio station.
Mm-mm.
It's too bad we live in a country that have so many people that will take advantage of every single horrible situation if you're not careful and if you're not educated and if you're not knowledgeable. From school shootings to natural disasters, you got people that will, if you don't wise up, will take advantage of you. So in this horrible time we're in, do not get duped out there from some idiot trying to take advantage of you in your horrible situation.
Yeah. I'll say this on a really quick personal level, too. It's crazy because, you know, so my cousin, he's actually getting out of the Army. Well, he's coming back to the States. He's in Germany right now. So, again, you know, Trump just literally disbanded, you know, everyone. He's supposed to come March the 25th. We're all excited he's coming back. Now Trump has banned, supposedly flights are not going to be coming out of Europe for 30 days. And I'm like, what? That's crazy, right? You know, because we're literally looking forward to having him come back, and this kind of throws a wrench in the works. I mean, I don't know what's going to happen, if the military is going to be effective in certain things, but this is, again, we talked about how it's kind of affecting all levels, right? And isn't that crazy from that perspective?
Yeah, that's
horrible. It's just nuts. It's just nuts. So, you know, again, I know we've talked about how it hits all parts of the economy, how it's impacted the sports world with the NBA season being on hiatus. That's going to affect the championship. It's going to affect workers. You know,
they
if you're
play.
An athlete, you're playing in you're playing in empty stadiums. Do you give the same effort? How does that affect you? You know, we talked about load management. How does that affect that? You know, we talked about the new CBA that's been going on for the NFL. You know, again, all these things are going to be touched. And hopefully, like Rob said, you know, we got about 30 days or so. Hopefully, we can kind of get this contained. But, you know, it's a lot, man.
Yeah.
So this is – we've never had an experience.
This will be contained for about a year.
I know, my lifetime. Yeah, well, like I said. Anyway, we got about 2 minutes, guys, literally 3 minutes here. So we've been going on for this, man. So we appreciate it. I know you guys – I grabbed you guys, too, to call in because we talked about a lot of different things here. It's kind of interesting sports talk has kind of morphed into, like, the coronavirus and everything like that, too. But – you know, we were kind of joking.
Well,
but now
I'll
what,
tell you one thing. I'll be coming to us on my show Saturday. That's for sure. Ooh, boy.
Mm-hmm.
Ooh, boy.
Wow.
That'll give me a big trouble.
You're going to be in trouble?
That'll give me a big trouble when they hear this on Saturday night on my show. Okay. Oh. Call 555 Dead Duck.
Oh, man.
well, again, I would say for us, that's hilarious. So, I mean, I really don't – I'm going to do, like, the 2 minutes here, and, you know, we're going to set the OT portion. I know we've got to, like, get wrapped up for the East Coasters, but, again, think about your last topics you want to talk about as a good, and everyone's going to get a shot to talk about kind of their last thing. And then we'll kind of wrap this up, and then, you know, we'll have another great edition talk of sports. So 12 minutes. So go ahead, Rob, on that note, Rob.
Ladies and gentlemen, we thank you all for tuning in to another great edition with Talking Sports and the 12th Man. I know we kind of tweaked our show a little bit to talk about some world issues tonight, but we thank you all for tuning in. Thanks for our callers on tonight. And once again, follow us on Twitter and Facebook. Let us know what you think. Give us some feedback on our show on tonight. We're getting ready to go into our OT portion. Unfortunately, we can't give you this portion of the show live. Click on the same link the rest of the week to get the rest of the show. And let us know what you think. Good night, people. We'll be back at you on next Wednesday night live, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, and 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. Good night, people.
Yeah, man. I'm laughing at you. I almost forgot about myself. I appreciate y'all for dialing in. I'm going to let my man Nas get loose because I'm waiting on him. I'm waiting on him to get loose because every time he gets in, he gets absolutely loose, and he makes me get to the point of tears with laughter. So y'all want to listen to this, listen to this OC portion because I'm waiting on him. That's why I got quiet because I was waiting for him to get ridiculous. We appreciate y'all for listening to the show. We holler at y'all next week, maybe, if we got some sports to talk about. They don't shut everything the hell down.
Yes, indeed. Yes,
we're going to have sports to talk about. I believe that. I'm not even sure that in this country we can do the same thing as China can do and Iran can do. We have that kind of independent spirit.
Yeah, as JQ said, somebody if a kid gets it, man, it's gonna go a different direction, man. It's gonna shut down.
Mm-hmm.
Unfortunately, if a kid dies from that, and you know, obviously they keep targeting, they keep saying that the elderly are more at risk, and that's kind of where I kind of still to this day, the flu does kill more people than this virus. If I'm not mistaken, the flu has killed more people than the coronavirus. So that's kind of why it's still kind of like, you know, we're still trying to trip it out on this. But again, it could go south pretty quickly, but we're going to hope that it gets better. And, you know, like I said, for the sake of everything in my life, you know, on that. Naj, man, we do, as JQ, kind of appreciate you jumping on, man. We're ready for you to kind of spill your knowledge, man. So we talked a lot of different things, man, but the world is yours, man. But, yeah, go ahead, man.
Dude, I wish I could, man. This kind of threw off the whole mood, dude. I'm sitting here looking at a parlay at one point today, and then all of a sudden, postponed. Then I see the Gobert wiping his hands on Mike's little joke he took. Like, yo,
yeah.
I'm not
yeah,
in
his
space right now. Like, yo,
yeah, he
do
was
I got to bet on esports? Like, hey, what the hell am I going to do, man? I don't think anybody thought about me and my betting when they started all of this stuff, man. You know what I mean? So,
They did not.
I'm at this point like, yo, you really mean I can't put money on anything tomorrow? And maybe this week.
Talking about.
And what about baseball?
Yeah.
I can't gamble on baseball. Yeah. So I'm kind of stuck on this. But to get serious though, the NFLPA and this deal, the great Marvin Miller, labor lawyer, who worked for MLB, well, worked for the players in MLB and whooped the owners' ass multiple times for decades. He turned down when the NFLPA came to him. He wouldn't take the job. Why? They're too fractured. They're split in half. They always lose because of it. You got short windows for careers. You got guys making mega money and guys making the minimum, knowing they won't be there long. So it's hard to get any solidarity. And they're about to get run roughshod over again with a terrible 10-year deal that the owners are promising them is a good deal. Yeah. This is a good deal. We're going to lock you in for 10 years. It's a good deal on your side. Like, the con is obvious. But, yeah, this is sad, man. Sad to see the NFL get rolled again.
Did you see that thing where they said some of the owners said they hope that the CBA proposal fails because they want to go to an 18-game season and they felt like they gave up too much in terms of the economic concessions in the deal? I was like, are y'all serious, NFL owners? Y'all are crazy. Like, they're hoping this deal fails so they can push an 18-game season. I was like, man, like, y'all, so, Mark Cuban said it best, you know, pigs get fat and they get slaughtered. And we love all of the NFL, but there's always a tipping point for anything. But when I read that, I said, yeah, man, yo, why would you leak something like that? That's crazy.
It's so disrespectful. It's like, look, that deal you got is really good. We almost didn't want to give it to you. We got an even worse one down the pipe. You better sign. That's a, you know, that's a mafioso contract. Like, yo.
Yes. I was sitting there like, wow. But to your point real quick, and I'll put this out, you know, I'll stop talking. I'll put this out to you guys. What does baseball do? Because if you're talking about, you know, in terms of contact and everything else is playing without any fans, and I know baseball has talked about not having the media in the clubhouse, but all these guys got to touch the baseball. You know what I'm saying? They got to touch the baseball, throw it to each other, pat each other, you know what I'm saying, give it to it. Like, if you're going to do this for the NBA season, what does baseball do when everybody has to touch the ball? You might use a batting glove to bat, but, you know, when the ball gets hit to you, you know, you scoop it in your glove, you put it in your hand, you throw it to the first baseman, he puts it in his hand, he throws it, you know, around the horn or throw it back to the pitcher if there's somebody on base. What does baseball do now in response to what the NBA does, at least in terms of the rest of spring training, in terms of opening day? Like, you know, because, you know, the MLB Players Union is probably the strongest union of all the pro sports. They don't play no games. They'd be like, you know what? locked out. We at the home chill at the house chilling. When y'all come back to us with a for real deal, we'll go back to playing baseball. But until then, we ain't playing. So what happens now with this coronavirus for baseball?
JQ,
we're going to have opening day.
JQ,
right.
Yep.
What I've heard here in Seattle, now in Washington right now, it's only the three counties, Pierce, King, and some Monmouth County. So the Mariners are talking about, and they were talking about this on the radio, the eastern part of Washington is not on lockdowns and be in place. So the Mariners have already announced that all their games are going to be away. And there even some talk, Portland is trying to get the Mariners to play some games down here in Oregon. So what they're looking at, the Mariners, and I've heard this on the radio today in this local area, the Mariners are looking at playing in places that don't have these lockdowns and these places that don't have this threat too heavy. That's what they're looking at right now, the Mariners are.
Yeah, well, see, but even that is a problem because we haven't done testing enough to know. Like, we've only basically tested in areas that had some kind of outbreak or something to where, you know, it's really popped up on the radar. But we haven't done testing to the point to really know where the hot spots are. And that's kind of the most uncertain and dangerous part of going on in our country right now. We just don't have the testing. We don't have a framework to do it, and it hasn't been done.
Yeah.
Yeah. Well, my thing is, I hear what you said.
There's not enough supplies for that.
Yeah, and I hear what you said about Seattle, but like I feel like, you know, Golden State came out and said, okay, we're not going to play this game with any fans, and then within the same day, the NBA said, you know what, from the one up that, no more games, season's over. So I hear what you're saying about Seattle, but I'm wondering what the MLB does at a greater stand of, that's great, Seattle, for what you're talking about doing, but across the board, we're going to do this as Major League Baseball. That's what I'm waiting on in terms of the other shoe dropping of, yeah, individual franchises can say what they're going to do. But once, you know, the league says what they're going to do, that trumps everything. So given what the NBA has just done, and you're, what, 30 days away from opening day around there, maybe a little less, probably a little less than that, what does baseball do now in response to this? Like, I hope they don't do that, but, you know, if the NBA does that, what does baseball do?
Well, as long as that baseball season is, and everything, and if this thing, you know,
dies out,
I guess, you know, like the flu does or whatever, and we don't know, I don't know, but I'm saying if it does, maybe baseball will do something like, you know what, we're cutting half a season out, we're going to play half a season, I don't know, I'm not in those rooms, but I guarantee you they probably have all these sports, you know, teams are all getting together and they're talking about this shit. They want to get this. They don't want to put their players at risk. You know, and I don't want to have to talk about. I'll tell you what. I don't want to have to, you know, go on next week when we don't have any sports and talk about bobsledding again.
Cool running.
But I will if I need to.
Yeah,
I will if I need to.
Yeah, the MLS hasn't. I haven't heard anything from the MLS either yet.
Mm-hmm.
Although in Europe, the German Bundesliga are playing games with no fans in the stands, and they're still going to play those the soccer games in Germany. I do know that, but there's not going to be any fans in the stands. But I want to say this to everybody. The epicenter of this whole thing and the people that's going to give us a little bit of a pattern on what we do about this is actually in Seattle. Seattle had the most. The state of Washington has the most. New York has a lot, too. And at one time, Delta Airlines had 7 flights going into China. And I wonder if that has something to do with why Seattle is kind of the epicenter of that. But Seattle's in the envious position to maybe guide us on how we figure this out. So I'm happy that we're in Portland, and I'm happy I'm watching the state of Washington, the governors of Washington, and all that. Something kind of funny I'm going to say about this. That ship that was out of California, that was off the Oakland in California. Now, they're starting to take passengers off that ship. The governor of California and the governor of Texas got in a kazoo today, got in an argument, a fight, because they're looking at, California's looking at taking 3,000 people, putting them on Travis Air Force Base. They asked the state of Texas to help them out with putting some of those people on some of the military bases they have in Texas. The governor of Texas told the governor of California, she's only taking Texas residents. She's not interested in helping California out with the number of people that are getting off that ship. If they're not Texas residents, she's not interested. And that caused a little bit of a dust up. And it was kind of, I found it kind of funny that these idiots have this argument and Texas has no interest in helping California out on that at all.
Yep.
Yeah, your vote is valuable. Don't vote for a guy because he said the funny thing or because he carries himself in a certain way. Like, when things get real, you actually want somebody who's confident and can handle real things. Like, we only taking Texans. These are United States citizens, man. What's wrong with you? I know somebody had to cuss this dude out a few times. That is crazy, man. This is not a problem that these leagues can go to their hard drive for on their computer. Break out the file cabinet. Look at the old stuff. Like, blow off the file. Poof. This is what we did in 1980. You know what I'm saying? Like, this is we in uncharted waters, man. And I'm not trying to scare people. Hopefully I'm not sounding too negative on this. But I'm just trying to say how difficult it is. And going to that same point where you talk about good leadership, man, never thought I'd say I missed David Stern. Shout out to Adam Silver. But I think I would trust David Stern with something like this. And you look at that MLB commissioner after the cheating scandal. Is that who you want running this?
No.
What?
You're right. Manfred is an absolute joke, and that's why I wonder. That's my point is, I wonder if he'll not. You know, you could say overreact, but like, you know what? I'm going to err completely on the side of caution because I've handled this other scandal so bad that I can't get this one wrong because people could die. You know what I'm saying? Like, and that's where people's mindsets are, especially those, you know. At that level, when you talk about all the fans and all the interaction that goes on, that I'm going to go all the way to the other side of this and be like, you know what, you ain't going to say I F this one up. You know, you could say maybe about the money, but I made sure the people didn't die, you know, sitting off in the stands trying to catch a foul ball. So that's why I wonder, and I brought that up in terms of what does baseball do, because to your point, I can see him saying, you know what, I done caught a whole lot of hell and flack for this cheating Astros scandal. What's not going to happen is we're going to play these baseball games and people start falling out in the stands. They're going to be looking at me like, bro, what are you really doing? Please get this dude out of office ASAP. So I'm real curious to see how he handles it.
Good call, gentlemen. It's been a fantastic night. Rob, you want to wrap this up, bro? You have anything else to say? You've been pretty quiet, Brother Rob. What you got, man?
Yeah, ladies and gentlemen, thank you all for tuning in to another great edition of Talking Sports with the 12th Man. We're going to be back on air on Wednesday night, next week, Wednesday night, 11 p.m. Eastern, 10 p.m. Central, and 8 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. We thank you all for tuning in to another great edition. Like I say, people, stay prayed up. Don't stress out. We're going to be all right. We're going to get through this storm.
Yes, sir.
Hey, who?
Might be talking sports. Might be talking your favorite album. Who knows?
Yeah, I'm saying we're going to take communion after this because Rob is taking us to the water, boy. I'm ready to go get baptized. But yeah, I appreciate all y'all for listening to the show and hauling us. We have some really serious topics to talk about, and I appreciate everybody that, you know, Naj and my other homeboy from New Jersey that called in, you know, bringing some really excellent points to the table. Sometimes you got to be serious with it. We just try to have some fun with it. Y'all all have a good evening. and hopefully we have some sports to talk about next week. And even if we don't, if there's some serious topics, I think we're all pretty serious dudes that can be serious when we need to and interject a little fun into it. So please tune in next week and holler at us and leave some comments on our Facebook page and let us know what you feel. Good night, people.
Go LSU Tigers.
Go everything. Go Atlanta. Yo, a lot of love, man. Like I said, it's, you said that perfectly, JQ.
Go U.S.
I'm going to wrap up.
I love it.
Gentlemen, seriously, I want you guys to be safe. Much prayers for your family. You know, let's not get too crazy, guys. You know, again, I know it's interesting, but let's hope everything will settle out and we'll keep moving, man. But so have a great week, guys, and we'll talk to you guys next week for sure.
Yes, sir. Yeah, have a good day.
Good night.
Good night.
People.
Good week.
Yep.
Have a good week. We'll talk to you on Wednesday.
Yes, sir. Yep.